Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, March 7, 2022. This morning I will talk about illumination. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Almighty God, light of the world, spirit of truth, all power and dominion, praise and honor be to you, O God, giver of the law and righteous judge, that you created us in your image, that we might share your salvation and illumination with all of humanity. Forgive our weakness, dishonorable behavior, and transgressions of your law. Do not leave us to wallow in our sins, cherish our iniquities, or give us over to unclean desires, but grant us new hearts that delight in your law and extend your grace to all that we meet. Thank you for the sacrificial love that you gave us in Jesus Christ, and many blessings that accompanied our privilege of being your sons and daughters in grace. In the power of your Holy Spirit, heal our wounds, cleanse our hearts and minds, and prepare us for heaven. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In Genesis 1:3 we read, "And God said, Let there be light, and there was light." The study of the nature of being is ontology. What is the nature of being presented in the Bible? God creates and classifies. After creating the heavens and the earth, God creates light and declares it to be good. Light is a form of energy and a symbol of morality. Declaring light to be good binds its physical status to its moral status, making them indistinguishable, much like the unity of heart and mind in Hebrew anthropology discussed earlier. This unity of the physical status and moral status of illumination contrasts with the materialist perspective. A materialist disembodies moral purpose from physical being, much like Greek anthropology separates mind and heart. Light cannot be good because, by definition, physical and moral status are separate lines of inquiry. Even the idea of light illuminating is not assumed because illumination requires an observer. Light cannot be good or illuminate because the materialist does not believe in the existence of a divine observer. Light as a symbol of righteousness can be found throughout the Bible. The book of Job offers a transparent example. In Job 24, verses 13 to 15, we read, "There were those who rebel against the light, who are not accustomed to its ways and do not stay on its path. The murderer rises before it as light, that he might kill the poor and the needy, and in the night he is like a thief. The eye of the adulterer also waits for the twilight, saying, No eye will see me, and he veils his face." Here not only are light and daylight described as symbols of righteousness, night is treated as an evil time, and being veiled is an act of a thief. Note the subtle relationship to the law. This light motif extends even to the description of the law. The psalmist writes in Psalm 19, verse 8, "The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." As the creator of light, God himself is seen as inherently good. What then is our nature? As life itself is inherently good, as all of God's creation, we have been created sinless in the image of God. God set us in the garden to tend it and give the animals names. When we focus on God's image, our nature is to seek to be more like God in all that we are and do. But because of sin, however, we have rebelled, become tarnished, and incompletely mirror God's image. Our sinless creation ontologically bestows on us the potential for redemption, suggesting that God anticipated the need for redemption in creation. If this were not so, then we could not be redeemed from sin. Thus, while sin runs deep in our nature because of original sin, the goodness with which God created us runs deeper. In some sense, the transfigured Christ, and he who was transformed before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light, this is Matthew 17:2, sparkled because of his sinless nature, visibly displaying his own created potential to be a sinless image of God. In our resurrected bodies, I suspect that we also will sparkle, basking in the light of God himself, the light of lights. This moral hue of creation is extended in the giving of the law, which defines morality in terms of our relationship with God, Commandments 1-4, and our relationship to one another, Commandments 5-10. Commandment number 1, you shall have no other gods before me. Commandment number 2, you shall not make for yourself a carved image. Commandment number 3, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Commandment number 4, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Commandment number 5, honor your father and mother. Commandment number 6, you shall not murder. Commandment number 7, you shall not commit adultery. Commandment number 8, you shall not steal. Commandment number 9, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Commandment number 10, you shall not covet. These are found in Exodus 20, verses 3-17. This focus on defining relationship implies that creation itself worked towards or engendered community as an extension of the divine image. This concept of image can be seen as assuming an observer, much like speech assumes someone is listening. This is why the commandments can be understood both as defining the holy community and outlining its spiritual boundaries between those who honor the law and those who do not. A director I once knew published a reorganization chart that only included the people he wanted to promote. The relationship of his friends with the remainder of the agency appeared nowhere in the chart. Left in the dark by this chart, people wandered the halls for weeks trying to figure out now who they worked for. Law need not enlighten or bless those subject to it. In this example, the reorganization chart blessed only the lawmaker and his friends, unlike the Ten Commandments that blessed relationships and those who honor them, as the psalmist writes, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." This is Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. By blessing all who honor the law, God enlightens our hearts and minds with tongues of fire, creating a divine community called the church. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.